The gospel reading is Mark 9, verses 2 through 10. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter did not know what to say, for they, the disciples, were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For Peter and for James and John, this was an overwhelming experience. Up until this point, their only real understanding of Jesus, their teacher, was that he was human like them, but had this extra power to heal and cleanse and feed thousands with limited resources and to quiet raging storms. And that he regularly stepped away from the crowds in order to pray. So when Jesus led them up the mountain, well, duh, the plan was obvious. A mountaintop retreat with Jesus. A time of quiet. A time of prayer. A time of retreat. So imagine their surprise. Imagine their surprise when they see their teacher suddenly surrounded by an unexplained brightness, a powerful light not accessible to humans, a light in which his clothes became white as snow, whiter than bleach. They had heard about this light in the stories of Moses' face-to-face encounters with God, and in the prophecy of Daniel, where God is described as wearing clothing white as snow. They had heard about it, but now they see it. Maybe that's what frightens them. And then they see Elijah. They see Moses, both of whom are in deep conversation with Jesus, two of the most important prophets in Jewish tradition, talking with their teacher. Then they see one more thing. They look up and they see a cloud looming overhead, just like the cloud of divine presence in the Exodus and at Mount Sinai. Anyone with the faintest knowledge of Israel's history would recognize, would see what was going on here. Divine glory, just like the glory ascribed to Yahweh and to Moses and to Elijah, was being ascribed to their teacher. Divine glory was being ascribed to Jesus. This was a new way of seeing Jesus. Jesus was in a new light, human and divine. At this point, God must have known that they'd seen enough, so he stopped showing them things, and God spoke from deep within the cloud. "This is my son, marked by my love. Listen to him. Listen." And then, as quick as it had started, it was over. Done. Bright light, gone. Moses and Elijah, gone. The cloud, gone. And that voice, suddenly silent. Whatever had just happened was over. And Peter, James, and John are left with something new, a new understanding of their teacher, a new realization that Jesus was not just another traveling teacher, that Jesus was not just another nomadic healer. No, Jesus ranked. Jesus was up there with Moses, with Elijah, with the most important prophets. A couple of thoughts for us as we prepare to enter the season of Lent. Like Peter, James, and John, our lives with Jesus can become pretty routine. Like Peter, James, and John, we can fall into patterns of what we think will happen, of what we think is next, of where we think Jesus is leading us. And yet in this text and countless other texts, they suggest that Jesus is anything but routine, that Jesus is anything but predictable. Jesus' entire ministry was about shaking up routine. Jesus' entire ministry was about turning tradition on its head. Think about, consider the routines and patterns of your life, the things you do without thinking, the hand with which you hold your toothbrush, the order in which you put on your shoes, even the sequence in which you dry your body when getting out of the shower. Choose one of those. And beginning Wednesday, for the next 40 days for the season of Lent, do it differently. Hold your toothbrush with the other hand. Put the other shoe on first. Change up your towel routine. It's not easy at all. It requires attention, and it may make us more open, more amenable to the routine changing ways of God. Bright light, Elijah and Moses, cloud overhead. Anyone with the faintest knowledge of Israel's history would have recognized what was going on. But would we have recognized what was going on? Do we recognize what's going on? Could we have held all those pieces together and said, "Aha, I got it"? I couldn't. Friends, we see so many things. So many images, so many interactions every single day. And I think we are particularly gifted about isolating those things, seeing those things as standalone and unrelated. What might be different if we started seeing these images and these interactions as connected, as related? How might our discipleship be different if we spent Lent bringing together these images and interactions into one place? If we spent Lent trying to connect the dots, holding all that we see in one place together. I'm talking about not compartmentalizing. What might be different if we spent Lent in pursuit of what God might be revealing through this big old visual collage? Listen. Listen to him. God speaks these words in chapter 9, at least in part, because the disciples weren't listening. In chapter 4, Jesus says, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Just a few verses later, he says the exact same words. "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." In chapter 7, he calls the crowd, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand." In chapter 8, he questions the disciples listening, "Do you have ears and fail to hear?" I doubt that the disciples were ignoring Jesus. They were busy. They were busy managing the crowds and witnessing the healings and participating in mass feedings and clearing the way for Jesus to get to his next destination. They were busy. But because of their busyness, they were not able to listen. Listen. To God, to each other, to strangers. Maybe it's 10 minutes in the morning. Maybe it's a no-phone meal. Maybe it's tuning in when the most obvious response is to tune out. A Lent of listening. It's impossible to do them all, and so choose one. Change your routine. Look for God in a collage of everything that you see and every interaction you have. Slow down and listen. Choose one. And may you encounter God. Alleluia and Amen.